Welcome back to the Halfway There podcast. I'm your host, Nick Hartman. And this week, we have a special guest because our friend Brian is sick. Brian, if you're listening to this, I hope you feel better. I can't wait to have you on the next episode. But my special guest this week is Chase Sutherland, who is the pastor of Students in Communication
at
Grace Park Church. There's no Baptist in that. It's just Grace Park.
Yeah. Technically, it's the Church of Grace Park.
My bad.
But I'll let you slide. I'll let you slide.
So Chase was a last minute phone call. I put it out. I said, hey, anybody have time to come and help me record this podcast? Because we have like 40 listeners a week, which
that's
is
solid.
Impressive.
Yeah, that's really good
for a first start. And we have people that I guess are expecting now. Week four is into this. They're expecting we do this podcast.
Consistency is key, man.
I guess that's how we're going to do it. So today we've been in the series Fear Not, which Chase did not know about. And well, he did because we talked about it on a separate occasion. But we've talked about the fear of lost control. We've talked about the fear of the unknown. We talked about the fear of not being good enough.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we're talking about the fear of failure. And we talked over the last 4 weeks about how every fear has an antidote in God's character. And our students have really driven that home because I really think that's true. Like any fear, any sin, anything that we wrestle with, there is an antidote in God's character. So you got anything to speak to that?
I think that, you know, that all kind of feeds into each other. Like the control, perfection, like it all kind of goes into each other in like a very like weaving type of way. I think if you're having a fear of control, fear of the unknown, maybe a lot of that is stemming from this feeling of needed to be perfect. So it all kind of like feeds together. And I think that's really interesting. And fear is one of those things that we see so often, I think, within next gen ministries. And I was thinking about it on the way here, how one person, I want to say it was actually through like an Andy Mineo interlude, was just like anxiety is just fear mixed with control.
Yep.
And I think, you know, when we have this fear of not living up to people's expectations, fear of being perfect, fear of always being the person that delivers, that comes up clutch, to where we don't allow ourselves to have mercy in mistakes. But I think a lot of times we see God's mercy in our mistakes and in our vulnerability.
Yeah.
And it's really telling to say that fear, I think, has something that we look at negatively, but there are some benefits in the fact of that there is like a healthy fear.
Yeah. We talked about that. That first week that we talked through this was that there is a healthy fear of God, right?
Yeah,
like in the sense that like the authority of God, the expectation of God, like the fact that like there is a there is fear that comes from the perfection. But oftentimes we get bogged down by the fears of like anxiety and stress and worry. And those are the things that really just kind of eat away at us. Right.
Yeah.
And we started the series in the Psalms. And the psalm that we read, actually, verse 5, I remember very vividly, was like, take me to a spacious place. Mm. And it's almost like, you know, that's very intentional imagery, because when we experience anxiety or panic attacks or whatever it might be, the room just starts to close in on us.
Yeah.
But God promises, it's like David obviously experienced that, but God promised him a space where there was going to be space, where there was going to be his character. And then that same psalm goes on to describe this beautiful picture of like God's goodness and his mercy and his grace, as he just talked about. So I think scripture has it all over the fact that like that sinful fear is like running, hiding, doing those things that don't get us to
the fear of getting caught.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so tonight, or it comes out on a Wednesday, so tonight we talked about fear of failure. Mm-hmm. And man, this one was very personal for me because I call myself a recovering people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And I say recovering because I still have tendencies too.
Right.
But I shared a story a little bit about how in high school I was a big, like, look at me, let me do every single club. I want to make all my teachers happy. I want to make my parents proud. I want to do all these things. And it actually led me to literally pull my hair out. I was diagnosed with trichotillomania, and it's the anxious stress response to being overwhelmed. And I would there's a spot on my head that is thinner hair now, but in my junior year it was a bald spot because I was just sitting at my desk pulling my hair out as like an anxiety thing. And it was like, wow, that physical thing was really showing what was festering in my heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that many, many high schoolers struggle with this perfectionism, mm-hmm. right? Romans 6 is the part of the letter that we looked at tonight from Paul, and specifically about, like, you know, this conversation of sin, continuing sin versus living for Christ.
Right.
But Chase, I mean, what would you speak to in terms of, like, just your straight up somebody who's struggling with perfectionism? What would your advice be to them?
As a perfectionist.
So, this is why you're on the podcast, right?
So as a, not even a recovering perfectionist, a for real perfectionist, it gets really hard.
Yeah.
Because I think subconsciously, I think of, you know, I've normally been like the youngest in the room in a type of leadership position, whether it's managing a restaurant at like 19 or 20 mm-hmm. or being one of the youngest pastors on staff. It's one of those things where I feel the need to do perfect in order to justify, hey, I'm trustworthy. I know what I'm talking about. I would like to think I'm good at my job. And so it's like this subconscious feeling of needing to prove myself.
Prove it, right?
Yeah.
You think that's a young person tendency? Because, I mean, I've been there too, and I'm still wrestling with the prove it syndrome. But is that a young person thing, or is that an anybody thing?
I think people just want validation.
Ooh,
and so, and I don't necessarily think it stems from people pleasing. I just think people want to be told that they are worthy in their effort of doing good. I don't think my perfectionism comes from the fact of, because I'm not a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And so my perfectionism comes from, if I'm a representative of the gospel, if I'm representing the bride of Christ, which is the church, then I need to make sure I'm on my A game all the time. And so that means, you know, not cutting corners, not letting things fall through the cracks. And it gets really hard. And I think some things are worth that. You want to make sure you're doing a good job.
Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God kind of thing, right?
But also at the same time, like, not everything warrants all of our focus all the time.
Yeah.
I think there has to be like a realistic expectation for yourself of, I can give 110% mm-hmm. here, but if I'm giving 110% here, that means somewhere else is going to slip.
Yeah.
And I think as like pastors, the hardest part of that is like family life balance, where it's like we're pouring into, you know, these teenagers and these students, and we're giving them our everything, but then we got to go home and do the exact same thing. And sometimes that wears us thin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, full transparency, like me and my wife, that's a conversation we still have, because it's just, I'm trying to learn that balance of, how can I be perfect here, there, and everywhere, when in all actuality, I can't.
You're not going to
be. I'm right? not going
it's to like, be. And one of the things that we talk about in this lesson is, and I'll jump to the point, but we'll come back to it, is like, God's perfect, we're not. Remember and rehearse, right? And like, we don't have a lot of theater kids in our youth group.
Right.
We've got a few band kids, but like, rehearsal is so important to the actual performance.
Oh yeah.
That even as Christians, we have to remember that the fact is, like, God is perfect, we are not. Remember and respond frequently and over and over. And even Paul in his letter would write pretty regularly to them, you know, his focus was, if we've died with Christ, if we are in Christ, like, the focus is that we need to be in Christ, and Christ is the one who is our sustaining hope. Right. So that the first point that we talked about was, a fear of failure is rooted in wrong relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not necessarily in bad relationship,
right,
but in wrong relationship. Our relationship with affirmation is greater than our relationship with God. You mentioned spouse, right? Our wives or husbands, who should be the place where we can go and be the most fully vulnerable. And yet I still catch myself at times being like, man, I gotta put on this performance. And there's nothing to perform in my marriage. You know, like, it's more of like reminding myself, like, hey, the love is there regardless.
I think that many times we just think we're called to perfection, but we're called to obedience and to do our best. And our best is not perfection. Perfection was Christ. Mm-hmm. And if we were to strive to perfection, we are to live to the standard of Christ, which we can't do. And so we're called to do our best. And so, you know, giving that effort, but understanding that, like, you are not perfect, nor are you called to be perfect. Like, that was never Christ's expectation for us past Genesis 3.
Yeah.
Like before Genesis 3, man, they had it going on. There was
a perfect relationship between God and man.
It was a utopia. They were walking together. They had this relationship. But in Genesis 3, everything changes.
Yeah.
And that's a result of the fall. And I think we feel as if there's still that need to perform. And what happens is we lose the ability to be vulnerable. And I think that's one of the most beneficial things that a young person can do and people can do is allowing themselves to be vulnerable with people that they trust. Because then it's not a performance. It's a, this is where I'm struggling, but I know I'm called to be the best that I can for the sake of Christ. And then having that community of getting there. When you were talking through David of having that open space, it made me think of like, that's what the church is designed to be for.
It should be the spacious place that we can bring.
It should be the spacious place where we can bring our burdens and our problems and be surrounded by like-minded people who are struggling with us, who are praying for us, and who are encouraging us.
Yeah. And I mean, when you do align the relationships and you have those places like your spouse or for us, the youth pastors, like that are kind of this place that we can be honest, that we can bring our struggle, that we can bring, am I missing something? Right. I think that just gives us a fullness into the picture of what God wants with us. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think the hard part is as young people, because sometimes perfectionism is rooted in people pleasing.
Right.
We forget that the people who are with us are wanting to help us and guide us and lead us. And so when we feel like we're going to let a parent down or a teacher down or a coach down, you know, I had this conversation recently with a student. There were some things that happened on a trip and I was like, dude, I don't hold on to that stuff.
Right.
But I'm calling you to a higher expectation. You know, like I want you to be a person who is mature and can act in places, you know, that are, that is showing Christ, you know, but I'm not here to like hold something against you. I don't, I'm not a grudge guy, you know, I'm very much a, I want our students and I want the people that we get to minister to see like, hey, mistakes happen. Mistakes have consequences, but that doesn't mean that those consequences are then held against you forever. Right. I mean, that's the gospel, right?
Right.
We sin. Consequence of sin is death. That's what Paul walks through in Romans 6. But he says in Romans 6, 7, if someone has died.
You did it.
I did it. If someone, since a person who has died in Christ is freed from sin.
Right.
You know, and it is such a reminder that the relationship that we have with God through Jesus is a perfect relationship.
Right.
No matter, and it's not built on us. So I love that. And I think that that is so important to understanding and fighting against a fear of failure. God's perfect. We're not. Yeah. God sent the one who was perfect. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be. Let's just come to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if we die in Christ, we're freed from sin. Amen. Right. We could end it right there, but we're not going to. That leads us to our second point that we talked about, which was we are recipients of God's great grace. You know, one of the things that I talked about was that God saw fit that the between the cross and the tomb, our sinful identity would be put to death. And surely he would see fit that the resurrection of Christ that defeated death would defeat the death of sin too. I think that is just such a reminder that when we struggle with this idea of being perfect, that we just really need to go to the Lord.
Oh yeah.
And we need to be honest before the Lord. And we need to remember that God's accomplished all that needs to be accomplished.
Right.
And he does want to use us, but he doesn't want to use us because we want the glory.
Right.
He wants to use us because he wants the glory.
It makes me think of David as he tries to build the temple. It's like David's like, God, I love you. You're like me and you are really close and I want to do this great thing for you. And God's like, no, like someone else needs to come and do this. And I think the perfectionist side of David was probably very upset by that. But it just goes to show that, you know, how God works through us may not make sense to us in the moment, but like when we see God's plan come to fruition, it's a beautiful thing, including with the cross, death, burial, and resurrection, because that need for perfectionism, it dies.
Yeah.
There's no part of us that needs to feel that pressure. And I think what is sad to me too, that people feel like they need to come to church perfect.
Mm.
We have someone at the church. His name's Gary. Shout out Gary. He says that the church isn't a social club for the religious. It's a hospital for the broken.
Yeah.
And I think when we look at the church with that mindset, it allows us to really let our guard down and let Christ be magnified through our brokenness, which I think is when he's the most magnified.
Oh yeah.
I think when we get in our own ways, like what David was, you know, about to do and letting his ego just shine through the roof, we lose sight of what God is doing, but it's through our brokenness and through our humility. And we see God really go to work. And I think that even with like the process of salvation, it's like confessing that we are imperfect.
I mean, that's the reality, yeah. Right? I mean, the part of rehearsing the fact that we are not perfect is also rehearsing the fact that we kind of got to take the humble pill. We got to swallow it. And we got to say, it's okay, Lord. Like Paul said, I ran the race. I've run the race. I finished the race, you know, but at no point was Paul also being like, look at all these people I led to Jesus.
Yeah, but
like,
I finished in first place.
Yes. but he, you know, I think it's just such a reminder that humility and reminding of the state that we were in and that God is the one. And this is what I drive home to our students.
Right.
It's like, at no point in your salvation are you doing anything to accomplish it.
No.
You're confessing and believing.
Right.
That is the simplest thing that you can do, you know. But God, all the laundry list of things that God accomplished through to bring you to himself is just insane, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, when I finished the lesson tonight and I highlighted the phrase, the very first words of John Newton's famous song, Amazing Grace, which is Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it goes on and being like, I once was lost and now I'm found, you know, but I think that's such a famous song, but we often forget that those are the lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, if grace isn't sweet to us, if it doesn't taste like honey to us, then there's a reason why we're struggling with perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
Because grace should be sweet because it saved a wretch like me.
Right.
You know, and part of that is just taking that what we preach and teach and putting it into belief.
Right.
Like, you know, I go back to the pulling my own hair out. And one of the things that I said about that was that my behavior was already doing something that my heart didn't want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think it's just so important to admit when we can't.
Yes.
And it's okay. You know, it's okay to say I can't, or it's okay to say no. That's what position that I put, that permission is what I needed.
No is not a bad word.
No.
And I think many times we think that it is. And what I think is really interesting about fear is like it allows us to create boundaries, which is something that I've been talking about in our ministry quite a bit, is just like healthy boundaries and what that looks like. And no is like one of the biggest things. But fear, you know, if we have this fear of getting hurt, whether it is doing whatever we're doing, we're not going to naturally go towards that situation.
Yeah.
Like if you're afraid of a roller coaster because you've seen like Final Destination, don't watch it, parents, don't watch it, students, then you're going to be like, I should probably avoid a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I think that's like that healthy fear, but that doesn't mean that we don't try.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what, when using the illustration of Paul, like we can't finish a race that we never start.
Yeah.
And
because
so,
we're scared to start it.
Because we're scared to start it and scared of being imperfect. You don't have to, God doesn't call us to finish in first place. He calls us to finish.
Yeah.
He calls us to go all the way through. And, you know, I'm not a runner, but like with marathon runners, like the goal isn't to be, unless you're hyper competitive, to be the first one that finishes the marathon. You just want to see that your hard work and training for the marathon has paid off.
Yeah.
You want to finish the race well.
That's the rehearsal part, the practice part. Can we put in the practice what we say we want to put into practice.
Right.
Because it's one thing to be like, eh, I say it, I believe it, I confess it. It's another thing to get out there and be like, I'm going to try. I'm going to try.
Yes.
And the thing about growth is that sometimes you're going to fail. And it's often out of the failures that we do learn the most lessons. I had a student who shared with me, you know, something going on in her life. And it wasn't severe, but it was like, I let my parents down. And I'm like,
yeah,
your parents are very gracious people and they want you to learn from this. And yes, there's some consequence, but it's not like they that you can't go back to them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was a very mature of her to be like, hey, I let my parents down. But she wasn't, she was more upset with the decisions that she had made than getting caught. And I think that's right. Another big thing is like, part of moving as a maturing Christian is like, hey, let's be cognizant of the things that we do so that, and not just like the fear of getting caught.
We can have earthly forgiveness, but we will still feel earthly consequences.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. We will have heavenly forgiveness and we will experience earthly consequences. It's going to happen.
Yep.
But that still like should mean that we run towards forgiveness because that's what we learn from, you know, and it's like what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 6. Like, do we sin just so that we can be forgiven?
Yeah, keep on sinning?
No. Like that's not the case at all. When you sin, you will have earthly consequences. You may be forgiven, but there's still going to be some things that you need to experience to help you grow and to help you learn. And I think the more we allow ourselves to learn from our mistakes, the lesser we feel this need to be perfect because we know we're all human. Mm-hmm. That's a part of the human experience.
Yeah. And what a great thing that we serve a gracious God.
Right.
You know, I think last week we talked about, I told them I was preaching through Luke 12, which is about the Father delighting to give, you know, us his kingdom and the lilies and the ravens. It's mm-hmm. it's Luke's version of what happens on the Sermon on the Mount about, you know, have peace kind of thing. But anyways, I loved the part that said the Father delights in giving you his kingdom because I told them, I was like, no other God delights in giving you stuff,
mm-hmm.
but our God,
that's why you got to work so hard for
it. I know, but our God delights to give you grace and mercy and kindness. And that separates the system. There's no other system that is about grace. There's systems that are involved. Oh, there's some grace, but it's also your works. And when I hear people preach that, I'm like, we're missing the point,
right?
You know, like, yes, there is fruit that comes out of a tree, but there's no planting that you have to do to get the tree. You don't have to get in the shower to look, you know,
right.
Like, or you don't get clean before you get in the shower. You know, you get in the shower to get clean. And that's what it is. That's what it's all about. So, Chase, thanks for coming on today, man. I wanted to take a minute to talk about an upcoming event that we have coming up.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, we'll talk about the first one that comes up here in 18 days from this release.
Yeah.
And it's at Kilgore Park.
Yep.
In Cross Plains, Tennessee.
I don't know where that is.
At 5:30 p.m. Nice. What is that event?
So that's going to be United Worship. We're going to bring in a special worship guest and he's going to be leading us in worship. And what that's going to be is a lot of the churches from the Harvest Baptist Association, they're going to be coming in and we're just going to have this time of worship and fellowship. We're going to play games. We're going to hang out. But above all, we're going to magnify Christ with our voices. We're going to worship. We're going to read scripture. We're going to pray with one another. And although we are churches stationed at different places, it's all the same kingdom.
Yep.
And so this is just us doing our part to bring a little piece of heaven down and worship our Savior together.
And that's also, you know, why Chase is on the podcast, because we believe heavily into not having rivalries or having anything like that. So huge excitement for that.
Yeah.
That is right now we got 8 churches that have pre-registered. There's no like requirement to do that.
And but not one of them.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm counting you in that. But so it makes it 9 technically because there's another guy that hasn't. But we're like looking at already like 280 something people there.
Praise
and
the Lord.
That's with 9 churches. So we know there's more and God's really working. It's going to be really exciting. Last year was really cool. So we're really pumped for that. We'll have a couple more announcements later. Chase, I'll have you back on the podcast again.
Sweet.
Not last minute, but we'll make it happen. Maybe we'll have a couple of the youth guys on. Maybe we can get a round table going.
That'll be good.
This is a Halfway There podcast. My name is Nick. Brian is usually our host. Chase filled in today. Thanks for listening. We hope you have a great week.